Chapter 9.
Whoa,
I gasped. What did you find out? I found some evidence that suggests Mr. Stanton is a part owner of some gaming houses, Travis replied in a matter-of-fact tone. They advertise that they offer prizes to the winners. Television, small appliances, or grills. That isn't illegal, strictly speaking. As long as they don't offer cash prizes, the state of Ohio doesn't see it as gambling. Okay. I nodded as Meyer started to delicately peel the wrapper off his muffin. But why are you bringing this up? Handing out prizes isn't illegal, the lawyer continued. But the business also seems to have a bookie, which itself is illegal in this state. They also host private poker games that allegedly are for cash. And I bring this up only in light of your continuing problems with Mr. Stanton. Our information gives us a certain amount of leverage to convince Stanton to back off. Oh, wow, I said as I considered the idea. I didn't like Brock, but nothing he'd tried had really worked so far. As long as he didn't escalate things, I didn't feel right about blackmailing someone. Even a giant douchebag like Stanton. I wasn't about to stoop to his level. Leverage is good and all, I replied, but I don't think we should resort to those kinds of measures. I'd rather beat him fair and square, for now at least.
Then that's just what we'll do, the lawyer said as he quickly finished the muffin, crumpled up the muffin paper, and deposited it on the plate.
Let's go check in with the surveyor before we ask Mr. Stanton for access to his yacht. The two of us stood up, and Travis handed his plate back to Ibsith.
That was the best muffin I've had in a long time, the button-down man complimented the elven woman. I would love to have the recipe.
Oh, then I will have Eddie give it to you,
my first wife said as she glowed with pride.
We won't be long, I told the ladies.
I think I'll plant my flowers,
Ibsith replied before she turned to the other women.
Will you both help me?
Travis and I stepped out the front door as the ladies prepared for their garden work. And Meyer stopped to get his briefcase out of his Audi. Then the two of us headed over to the Miller's place and found Dave in the backyard with the surveyor. The surveyor was a man in his mid-30s who looked like he lived in the sun, and he wore a red plaid shirt, jeans, and some work boots.
Mr. Hill, this is Tad Yoder.
The lawyer introduced the man in plaid.
He comes highly recommended.
Nice to meet you, Tad, I said as I shook the man's hand, and then I turned to Miller. Hey, Dave, how's it going?
Oh, real good, Eddie, Dave smiled. We got that place in Ashland, just waiting for everything to go through. Jesse's really excited.
That's awesome, man. I congratulated him.
It's so weird that Brock never brought up this property line thing for all these years,
Dave added as he furrowed his brow.
Jesse and I moved in after we got married, and he's never said a thing until now.
Yeah, I snorted. Weird. I knew the Miller's oldest kid was about 9, which meant the Millers had probably lived in the house for at least a decade without Stanton raising a stink. Didn't seem like a coincidence to me. Dave, Travis, and I shot the shit while Tad moved his equipment around the yard and wrote down measurements. And even though I knew Brock's claims were bullshit, I still had a knot in my stomach while I waited. It was torture, and I just wanted the whole thing to be over with. And I knew this wouldn't end things with Brock. It was real tempting to take Meyer up on his offer to use the fact that Brock was involved with an illegal gambling ring to shut the bull-necked man up. I wasn't one to play dirty, though. There was nothing I wanted more than to buy up the houses on either side of his and then see the look on Brock's wide red face when I offered to buy his house, too. Forcing Stanton to take my money and leave seemed like the sweetest revenge, especially if I made him a fair offer. Sure, I could hit him below the belt. I could be like him and call an anonymous tip to the proper authorities, have him investigated, and he'd probably lose his business in the mix. But I would fight clean and watch him leave with his tail tucked between his legs.
All done here,
Tad said as he gathered up his transit and receiver on their tripods.
We can move on to the other yard.
Wonderful,
Maya replied with a curt nod.
Lead the way, Mr. Hill.
Talk to you later, Dave,
I said as we left Miller's yard and we walked over to Brock's place. I rang the doorbell and waited as Travis adjusted his tie. The lawyer was calm and relaxed, and I tried to be too, but I knew Brock would try to hold this up as long as he could. Brock's son was the one who answered the door, and I was kind of pleased to see his eyes go wide for a second when he saw me, but then his stupid face went back to its usual sullen expression.
Dad!
The 19-year-old shouted into the house. The weirdo from that shitty trailer is here, and he brought some prick in a cheap suit! The kid walked away and left the door open behind him.
I rather like my suit,
Meyer commented mildly as we waited. It's a nice suit, I replied with a smile.
Don't leave the fucking door open!
I heard Brock shout from inside the house, and then a moment later Stanton's wide frame filled the doorway.
What the hell do you want?
Even though it was Saturday, Stanton had on a polo with the security company's logo on it.
Hi, Brock,
I said in as friendly of a tone as I could muster. I know you were worried about the property line, so I got a surveyor to come check things out.
And?
The bald man snorted.
And? Travis replied in his professional tone. We're requesting access to your property to help clear up this matter.
Who the fuck are you?
Stanton looked Meyer up and down.
I'm Travis Meyer.
The man in the suit introduced himself.
Mr. Hill's lawyer and CPA. I've been handling the sale of Mr. Miller's house.
You brought your lawyer?
Brock turned to me and asked with a raised eyebrow.
Trying to send a message here, boy?
You're the one who filed the claim, I said.
And we're just trying to address that concern in a timely manner,
Meyer interjected.
Am I to understand you're refusing us access to your property?
So what if I am?
Brock sneered as he crossed his beefy arms.
What are you gonna do about it, glasses?
You'd be well within your rights to do that,
Meyer said without a break in his detached manner.
But you should note that the claim would then have to be passed on to the City Planning Commission, and since you are the one who filed the claim, the burden of proof would be on you, as well as the expense of the surveyor.
I make $84 an hour,
Tad said from the foot of the porch steps.
Your call, man.
$84 an hour? I asked Travis with a raised eyebrow.
And that's on the lower end.
The lawyer nodded.
I already submitted my proof to the escrow company,
Brock replied with a smirk, as if that settled the matter.
So I don't see why any of this is necessary.
Ah, yes.
Meyer set his briefcase on the porch railing and opened it.
I believe you're referring to this map from 1953. I had my secretary look into that. She's very thorough. The problem is the lots were changed in 72, when a previous owner purchased part of the lot where your house sits now. Here's the current map.
Travis held two printouts of the different lot maps, and Brock's face turned even redder as he watched him.
So, it's entirely up to you what you would like to do today,
Travis concluded.
But it looks to me like the Miller's current home is not on your property. However, once Mr. Yoder has finished his work, if there is any question of the fence being over your property line, then I'm sure Mr. Hill would be more than happy to move said fence at his own expense in order for the escrow process to proceed.
So, what's it going to be, Brock? I asked.
I'll let your surveyor into my backyard.
Stanton grunted through pursed lips.
But I'm going to have to ask you two to leave my property.
Actually,
Meyer said with a little smirk,
part of Mr. Yoder's contract requires me to be present to ensure he isn't interfered with. You understand, these matters can get heated sometimes.
Fine!
The bald man spat, with his face redder than ever before. I'm going to go help Ibsith with her flowers, I told Travis. Let me know what Tad finds out.
Of course.
Meyer nodded. I shot Brock one last mocking smile before I walked back over to my place and found the ladies busy in the front yard. They were all partly covered with fresh, dark earth, but I thought they looked beautiful. There was just something I liked about a woman who was willing to get her hands dirty. The three of them had one flower bed almost done, and I didn't know a lot about landscaping, but it looked amazing. Ibsith had a real eye for color, and the way she'd arranged the dark reds, oranges, and golden yellows looked fucking great. It got me thinking about fall, warm cider, and best of all, that Halloween was around the corner. It was the first year that I'd have a porch for jack-o'-lanterns and to pass out candy. I could hardly wait. The ladies were gonna love Halloween. Then I saw old Whitmire on her porch swing as she watched us with a sour expression, like she smelled a fart that she just couldn't get away from, but I chose to ignore her and pitch in to help the women. This looks great, I said as I got down on the ground with them. I'll start pulling weeds from the other flower bed and get it ready. Do you have enough flowers to finish the front yard, baby?
More than enough,
Ibsith said with a glow on her heart-shaped face.
I think I should have enough to do the backyard, too.
About the time we were finishing up, I got a text from Meyer. You should come over. There's good news. Warning, Stanton isn't pleased. I'll be back in a minute, I told the ladies. I think the surveyor's done. Then I got up and started over to Brock's place, but I could already hear him as he yelled,
This is ridiculous!
The bald man shouted as I stepped into his backyard.
I'm gonna sue you, Hill, and this goddamn surveyor!
Brock's yard was huge. The asshole had most of it paved over for a big-ass pool, but there was some over-designed landscaping around the edges of the cement. There was also a wide wooden deck with a high-end grill and expensive-looking patio furniture. Everything looked shiny, new, and was clearly just an extension of the man's massive ego.
Now, now, Meyer said calmly as I walked up. There's no call for threats, Mr. Stanton. Mr. Yoder's simply doing his job. I would also remind you it was your claim that brought this to light. We were simply trying to address your concerns.
What's the problem? I asked as I tried to not let my amusement show on my face.
The problem is that crank of a surveyor you hired.
Brock seethed as he turned his rage on me.
Where'd you even find this guy?
I'd be all too happy to show you my awards and certificates,
Tad said in a passive tone. Jesus, I snorted. What happened?
I'll have to double-check my readings,
Yoder started to say, but then Brock interrupted.
Yeah, you go double-check! There's no way my fence is on this prick's property!
But it appears Mr. Stanton's fence is the one over the Miller's property line,
Tad finished.
By 6 feet, I might add.
I could see why Brock was so upset. With all the pavement, moving the fence would be a bit of an ordeal. Really? I said evenly. Unless that's going to affect the escrow thing, I'm not worried about it. What's a few feet between neighbors?
You fucking asshole!
Brock spat with his fists balled up, and then he took a step toward me.
Mr. Stanton!
The lawyer put himself physically between Brock and me.
I would like to invite you to take a deep breath. Mr. Yoder still has to go over his measurements and file his report. I'm sure we can all clear this up like gentlemen.
I guess another one of Stanton's schemes had backfired on him.
I want the three of you to get the fuck off my property!
Brock shouted.
Of course, Meyer replied in his mild tone. Have a good day.
The three of us left Stanton's, and once we were out of earshot, I allowed myself a little chuckle. That didn't go the way he planned, I said to Travis. If his fence is over the property line, is that going to hold up things for me? With the new house, I mean?
I don't think so.
The lawyer shook his head. I'll give Mr. Stanton some time to calm down and get it worked out. The important part is he doesn't have a claim to your property, and I'll make sure everything goes through according to plan. Thanks, Meyer, I replied.
It's what you pay me for,
Travis shrugged. This isn't the first time someone has gotten mad at me. When we got back to my place, I said goodbye to Meyer and Yoder, and they got into their vehicles and drove away. Then I spent the rest of the afternoon with the ladies as we arranged Ibsith's flowers and got them planted. Once we were done, I looked over the results and it looked amazing. The old trailer still needed a facelift, but the fall flowers really helped. We all went inside and got cleaned up, and then Ibsith cooked dinner for all of us. As the ladies got settled in for the evening, I took the trash out, and when I stepped into the backyard and the security light came on, I was startled by the squeal of some raccoons as they reacted to the sudden flood of light. They were over by the fence and booked it out of the yard as soon as the porch light came on.
What the fuck?
I gasped as the two animals quickly scaled the back fence.
What are you guys even doing back here?
Obviously, the raccoons didn't answer, but I went over to the fence line to see what had drawn them over there. Trash and kitchen refuse was scattered around the grass and bushes all along my side of the fence. It was dark, but I could clearly see a few banana peels, empty food cartons, and some half-eaten food. It was the side of the yard closest to Whitmire's place, so I didn't have to guess how it had all gotten there. It looked as if the old woman had just emptied out a trash bag or something over my fence and into my yard. And I'd fucking had enough. I went over and put the bag I'd carried into my trash can, and then I left through my side gate. As the gate swung shut again behind me, I marched over to Mrs. Whitmire's front door and knocked. I could hear as the TV shut off, and then some steps inside, and when the old woman opened the door, she didn't look at all surprised to see me.
Come to swear at an old woman again?
Whitmire asked with an arched eyebrow. Are you happy here? I asked in a calm voice.
What?
The bitter old crank stammered.
What kind of question is that?
I mean it, I replied. Are you happy here, Mrs. Whitmire?
I don't... Why would you... The nerve!
The old woman seemed offended, but I watched her bottom lip quiver. I'm asking because I know you're not, I said as I ignored the nosy woman's bluster. And I suspect you weren't happy long before I moved in. But I'd like to come inside and talk to you about it. Whitmire stared hard at me for a moment, clearly suspicious of my intentions, but I just looked back at her as I tried my hardest to understand just why the old woman was so angry all the time. Then something in Whitmire's eyes softened slightly as she looked back at me and saw I meant what I said.
I'll have you know that if you try anything, I have life alert,
the old woman said. I just want to talk. I shook my head. Whitmire huffed, but then she stepped back in her house and left the door open so I could follow. Amrila had been right. The house did smell just like Whitmire's musky old lady perfume, and everywhere I looked were pink silk flowers and glass vases, lace doilies, and oversized floral prints. Even the carpet was a terrible shade of dusty rose pink. Whitmire went over to a velvet Queen Anne chair and sat down, and then her little rat dog jumped up into her lap and quietly growled at me as it shivered.
Hush now, Philomena,
Whitmire scolded the mutt.
Sit down and say what you have to say, Mr. Hill.
You can call me Eddie, I said, and I sat down on a plastic-covered couch that creaked as I put my weight on it. Then I took a moment to look around. Among the tacky knick-knacks, there were pictures of Whitmire and a man I assumed was her husband at different points in their lives, including their wedding day. It seemed the old woman had never been pretty, but she clearly had been happy once because there was the plump woman with a big smile on her round face and all the old photos. There were also faded pictures of kids and graduation photos, but I'd never seen anyone come to visit her. No middle-aged couples stopping by with grandkids in tow. So I thought I started to understand a little about why the old woman had become so bitter. I felt it was safe to also assume that Mr. Whitmire had passed away at some point, since the nosy woman lived alone. I'm going to ask again, I said as I looked back at Whitmire. Are you happy here?
I don't know, as that's any of your business,
the old woman said in a lofty tone.
This is where I raised my children and lived with my husband. I'm just fine where I am.
I understand that it's not my business, I said carefully. But when you start dumping trash in my yard and glaring at my wife and friends while they plant flowers, it kind of starts being my business. I'm not here to fight. I genuinely like to help.
Oh?
She replied in a defensive tone.
And how do you propose to help?
Is there anywhere else in the world you'd rather be? I asked. Anywhere at all.
Robert and I always talked about retiring in Florida,
Whitmire said after she'd thought about it for a moment.
But his pension from the factory wasn't enough. We always joked how we would go when I retired from teaching, but he was gone before that happened.
I'm sorry he's gone, I said. But why not go to Florida now?
Don't you think I'd like to?
The old woman huffed.
All my friends moved there one by one, and younger people moved in all around me. Jean and Betty and Harriet are all in Florida now, but I got stuck under a mortgage and medical bills. And
what if you sold the house? I asked as I shifted, and the plastic couch cover creaked.
Not to put too fine a point on it, but who would want to buy a house with a bunch of weirdos living next door?
Whitmire replied as she leveled a stern gaze at me. I would, I said with a smile. I would buy your house. I would even help pay your moving expenses if that would help you move anywhere but here.
What?
The old woman cackled.
Are you trying to buy up the whole neighborhood?
I didn't answer and just looked back at the old woman.
Are you trying to buy up the whole neighborhood?
Whitmire repeated, and now she sounded stunned. Right now, all I'm trying to do is buy your place and help you get to Florida, I said. There's no need to pretend we like each other. I think we can both agree that we don't. But the way I see it, this is how we can both get what we want.
You're serious, aren't you?
The old woman asked, and she stared at me with wide, shocked eyes. You bet your ass I'm serious. I grinned. I can get the whole thing going with one phone call. Just ask the Millers. A moment of silence passed, but Mrs. Whitmire suddenly started to cry, and I felt very awkward very quickly. I hadn't expected that reaction. I'd half thought she'd say no just out of spite.
That is just the nicest thing anyone has ever done for me.
Whitmire sobbed as she stood up to hug me. Philomena growled as she was unexpectedly ejected from her master's lap, and as the old woman threw her arms around my neck, I found myself uncomfortably enveloped in Whitmire's massive breasts with a nose full of her terrible perfume. It's okay, I said as I gently untangled myself from her. We don't have to start liking each other now.
Oh, sorry.
The old woman sniffled as she sat next to me on the couch, and the plastic creaked again.
I've just always wanted to go to Florida. The winter is so hard on these old bones, and I miss my friends so much.
Well, with any luck, you'll have a Christmas palm tree this year, I chuckled.
Thank you, Eddie,
Whitmire said as she dabbed her tears with a pocket handkerchief.
I still don't know about you, but thank you.
I'll call my lawyer and get things started, I snorted. And I mean it when I say I'll help with some of your moving expenses. Maybe call your friends and see if they can help you look for a place down in Florida.
You'd be such a nice young man.
The old woman smiled at me.
If it weren't for your terrible taste in women.
I chose to let that slide this once and said goodbye. When I got back outside, I took a nice big lungful of fresh air and was thankful to be out of the cloud of cheap perfume, but a little lingered on my clothes from the hug. I went back into the trailer, and I saw Ebsith, Amrila, and Nilame in the living room together as they watched The Princess Bride again.
Oh, what's that smell?
Ebsith asked as she wrinkled her little nose. Oh, Mrs. Whitmire hugged me. That perfume of hers sticks to everything. I laughed.
She hugged you?
Amrila asked, and she narrowed her black eyes in confusion.
Why?
I offered to buy her house so we wouldn't have to live next to each other anymore. I snorted.
Really?
My elven wife perked up.
That's wonderful. And you say you're not a king.
Nilame laughed lightly.
I do not know of any man in the gloom that has three houses, not even a chief.
Seemed like the simplest solution to the problem. I shrugged. I'm gonna go take a shower.
Oh, please do, my king.
The white-haired woman pleaded.
That sweet smell is making me feel sick from here.
I went to the bedroom to get a change of clothes, and then to the bathroom to turn on the shower. And as I waited for the water to warm up, I pulled out my phone and texted Owen McElfrish. Do you have some time to meet tonight? I have some more stuff to sell.